I'd like to go to a familiar portion of scriptures that we've oftentimes quoted in passing relative to other subjects, but we want to use this as a starting point. We'd like to go to the third chapter of 2 Timothy 3:16. In 2 Timothy 3:16, the Apostle Paul says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instructions in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." We find in this the purpose of God's word is not for the dead alien sinner, but it is for, he says, that the man of God. It is for the man of God. All scripture is given, how? By inspiration of God. And I'm thankful for that. When you understand that, it's still amazing that all the writers of the Bible, they all come together and they all speak of Jesus Christ and Him crucified all through the ages, all the different countries and continents and the thousands of years that have spanned through the writing of God's Word, and yet it's all in harmony with one another. And there's only one way that it can all be in harmony. It's given by God. It is God that's given this word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And not only is He given it, not only is He inspired it, but it is profitable. He gave us something that we can profit from. He just didn't give us something that we could just look at and perhaps find great cause to rejoice, but we can find real profit in God's word. He says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. Doctrine tells you what is right. It is for reproof. Reproof tells you what is wrong. For correction, it tells you how to get back right. And instructions in righteousness tells you how to stay right. That's what it's all about. When we look at God's Word, it instructs us. It gives us everything that we need in this life. It is profitable to the man of God, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I want to talk about spiritual growth this morning. Spiritual growth. That's what he's talking about here when he says in the 17th verse that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works, that it gives him everything that he needs in order to perform good works. It's everything that he needs. It's a complete book. And it is for the man of God that he may be perfect. That perfect just means to be of maturity, to be grown up. We're talking about a spiritual maturity. We're talking about a spiritual growth. And I suppose that we've all probably perhaps made some resolutions for the coming year, for this year that we're in, rather, in 2017. And I think it's good to make resolutions. I think it's good to set your mind on things and try to adjust things in your life, whether it be with me, whether it be like weight loss or trying to stay fit, trying to stay healthy or whatever it is. You know, that's a lot of the resolutions this time of the year is trying to get yourself healthier, get yourself more fit. Some people, you know, the traditional meal, the black-eyed peas and the collard greens and ham hocks, and you know that's the traditional New Year's Day meal, and you know that is supposed to be for luck. You know, the black-eyed peas give you luck, and the collard greens are supposed to give you luck in money for that coming year and stuff like that. That's all right. I'm not that hungry for money. But anyhow, that's what a lot of those, you know, we're looking to our resolutions. We're looking to improve ourselves, and those are good things that we should have. And I want to ask you this morning, have you made any New Year's resolutions concerning yourself in the church? Have you made any New Year's resolutions concerning yourself and your fellowship with God? Do you see where you need to grow? We all need to grow to perfection. We all never get to the place where we've grown as much as we should. And I hope that isn't the attitude that we take when we say, well, I'm as far as I need to go and I don't need to grow anymore. No, I want to tell you what you need to, we need to keep growing in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We need to keep growing in the grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. That is a growth, my friends, that we will have and that we should foster and that we should be motivated to do every day that we live on this earth, that we ought to motivate ourselves, that we should desire to grow. I want to tell you, when a child is young, it needs to grow. It needs to grow. And I tell you, if you have a child and it quits growing, either physically or mentally, and that growth begins to stop, there's a problem. There's a problem there. You need to get that child to the doctor. There's something wrong. Well, I want to tell you, spiritually speaking, we ought to be the same way. I want to tell you, if we begin to stop growing in spiritual growth, there's something wrong with us. There's something wrong with me. I've lost the fervor. I've lost the motivation. It's just too much. You know, reading the Bible shouldn't be a chore. How oftentimes do we turn it into a chore? No, I got to sit down and read the Bible. It shouldn't be a chore. You ought to be doing it out of joy. It ought to be a joyful thing to sit down and read God's Word. To be a perfect man, to be of full stature, to be a maturity, a mature person, full grown. We can go to many places and we can see the results of this maturity in James chapter 3. And in James chapter 3 and verse 2, listen to what he says. For in many things we offend all. For in many things we offend all. You ever offended somebody? For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, we're talking about with our mouth. If any man offend not in word, the same is a what? Is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. A man that's able, a person that is able to not offend a brother or sister is one that he says here, the same is a perfect man. That doesn't mean we understand. It doesn't mean we're perfect and sinless. We understand. It just talks about that we are at a maturity. And what James is talking about here is he's talking about the tongue, that unruly member. What a great matter a little fire kindleth, he says just a few verses later down from there. And how we can allow that to destroy fellowship and love. But he says, when he starts off talking about that unruly member, he says, if you offend not in word, that shows that you're a perfect man. You're a mature man. You're able to take those things and put them aside. Now in another place he said, in talking about that perfect, being perfect, over in the 19th chapter of Matthew. And I just want to go to a few places just to establish this thought. In the 19th chapter of Matthew, you remember in the 16th verse, and behold, one came and said unto him, good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto them, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. And he said, which one? He said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, all these things have I kept from my youth up, what lack I? Jesus said unto him, if thou wilt be perfect, if you will be perfect, not perfect without sin, a full maturity, a spiritual growth. If you'll be perfect, listen to what he says. Go and sell that that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me." If you're going to be perfect, if you want to be a full, mature Christian, you go sell everything that you have, and you give it to the poor, and you come and follow me. Well, now, he didn't want to do that. He was okay with everything else that he hadn't done, but he went away very sorrowful. But notice the word perfect there is talking about a maturity. Many other places in the 13th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he says, the Apostle Paul says in the 11th verse, "Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect." Be perfect. "Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you." Paul's saying, be perfect. Be full grown. In other places, in the 4th chapter of Ephesians, we've been there several times here in the last few Sundays. He says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man." You see, this is what spiritual growth is. Spiritual growth is like the song that somebody called out this morning, is taking up your cross and following him. That's spiritual growth. Spiritual growth is crucifying the flesh. Paul said, "I die daily." It's crucifying this old flesh. Spiritual growth is having unconditional love one for another. Spiritual growth is having forgiveness one for another. And where does all this spiritual growth come from? It comes from being in God's Word, and it comes from being in God's church. "For all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it is profitable for these things." It encourages us. It gives us the fortitude. It gives us the zeal. It gives us the motivation and the drive to be able to live that way that is pleasing to God. "That the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto" what? "All good works." That he'd be furnished unto all good works. He gives us what we need, not evil works. We've got enough evil works. He tells us what we're to do is to take off that old man and put on the new. We're to put on that new man and walk in righteousness in the Lord in this life. And I want to tell you, that takes work. That takes growing in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Now, one other place here in Colossians, in chapter 1. In Colossians chapter 1, in 27, "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." He's just simply talking about the gospel that we have. Which is and he tells us the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Listen to what he says in the 28th verse, "Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus, whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily." He says, I'm preaching the gospel that it might make you perfect, that it might make you mature, that it might cause you to look at things in a different way. We're talking about spiritual growth. How important is that? We've quoted it a couple of times over in 2 Peter in the last verse of that third chapter. It says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Grow, what? In grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We need to keep growing in this life. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and I believe it's about verse 3, the Apostle Paul there says, in the second verse, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity, what is the result of that growth? There's a lot of results of your faith growing exceedingly. There are a lot of results. A lot of positive results of your faith growing exceedingly. But what does he say here? And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth. It aboundeth. The charity. The love for one another. It is abounding because our faith is growing exceedingly. Because we are growing in the nurture. We're growing in the knowledge of the Lord. We have spiritual growth. And that's what we have to... Now I hope... Now, that we can not say, well, I tried reading the Bible every day, and I get through about the middle of Leviticus or something like that, and I just can't take any more of it, and or I get into about March, or and the weather's pretty, and I got to get outside and get this and that done and everything else. We're gonna talk a little bit more about that, but I want to tell you what I'm not telling you, dear child of God, to put everything away. Put all the blessings away that God has given you. I'm not telling you just to isolate yourself in a room and just devote yourself 24/7 to the Lord. And that would be a wonderful thing if we could all do that. That's not what I'm suggesting this morning. I'm just suggesting that if we have a desire to grow in the Lord, and that we do so at our own pace. That we see you should be today a little bit better in your spiritual growth than you were this time last year. If there's been no growth in a year's time, there's something wrong. We need to keep growing. It may be just a little bit, but there's got to be some growth. We got to keep growing as we go on. And I hope that this time, a year from now, that we can see where we have grown, that I can see where I have grown. That we can see where we have grown together. So what are the things we need in order to have this growth? Well, the first thing we got to have is that desire to grow. We got to have the desire first. Because if you don't have the desire, it's not going to happen. And as I said, every child desires their children to grow up. They want them to grow up. And we as children, you remember being a child and you couldn't wait until those landmark years, couldn't wait until you were 13, you were a teenager, and then, 16, you get your license, and then 18, and then 20, and they're 21, they're just all these landmarks are growing, and then now if you're like me, you're trying to pull hard on the reins, and it's just gone out of control now. but as you're little, it just doesn't seem like you'll ever get there, and you're wanting to grow, you're wanting to mature. That's how we ought to be in our spiritual life. In our spiritual life, we ought to want to grow. We ought to have a desire to grow. It takes work, okay? It takes work. It takes putting down some things from time to time and picking up something like God's Word. Or it takes coming to church on Sunday morning and praying for your pastor and coming in. And coming in diligently seeking the Lord. It takes those things that we must do. He said, we are to desire. The Apostle Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 2, wherefore laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, listen to what he says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Okay, that's, we're talking, now let me explain something here with the Apostle Peter. We're talking about newborn babes. When we first got into the church, we were fed milk. The sincere milk of the Word. We were rejoicing in that. But there comes a time where you got to put the bottle down if you're going to grow, and you got to start eating meat. You got to start eating food. And you know, there's a lot of good, loving Christian people that have never been weaned off the bottle, that are still on the bottle. But we got to move away from that, and we have to grow. And we have to grow in that. You remember, Paul was talking to the church at Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And he says, "And I would, brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual." That spiritual is talking about unto perfection. I couldn't speak unto you at this level. "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." I'm speaking to you like a baby. "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able." You know why they're not able to bear the milk or the meat? Because they never weaned themselves off the milk. They stopped growing. They stopped growing. They stopped growing in charity. They stopped growing in love. They were all carnal. And you understand the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, was just, it's riddled full of problems that were going on there in Corinth with the church and all the things that they were doing wrong. And they weren't growing. They had stopped growing. They never got off the milk. Thanks be to God, they ended up getting on some meat by 2 Corinthians. And Paul's letter began to turn them around some. But we see that that this perfection is something that we should all desire. It's something that we should all work for. And it is not something that I believe that you'll ever attain in this life. Right. I don't think you're ever going to get to the point that you're going to say, I'm finally there. I am perfected spiritually. I'm as spiritually grown as any one man could ever be. I think if we ever get to that point, we're in a bad way. We're in a bad way. And listen to what the Apostle Paul says over here in Philippians chapter 3, in the 13th verse. "Brethren," no wait, in the 12th verse, "not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect." Paul says, "I've not attained." Now, this is the Apostle Paul talking. You'd think, you know, if somebody could say that they have reached full maturity in their spiritual walk with the Lord, surely it would be the Apostle Paul. But the Apostle Paul, what does he say? He says, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which I also am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." You see, the Apostle Paul recognized that it was a continual thing in this life, that we continually grow in this life. Now, perhaps, like I said, we feel like, well, I've just lost my fervor. I've lost my zeal. I just don't have it like I used to. And if that's the case, what we have to do is we have to get that zeal back. We have to get that zeal back for the Lord, that zeal back for the church, that zeal back for His Word. How do we get that zeal back? We get that zeal back by being thankful, first of all, to the Lord. To remember always what God has given us, to remember what God has done for us. That's one of the greatest blessings that we overlook in this life, is to forget to be thankful for all that God has given us, especially in us in this day and age. The blessings that we have, I want to tell you, it is easy, and we all take them for granted. We all take them, you know, this is, we take them for granted, and I want to tell you, but when we sit down and we think about what God has done for us, and we're thankful for those things, I want to tell you what a great blessing that is. And then also, that will help out in your zeal. And reading God's Word will help you out. And being committed to the Lord's house will help you out. I want to tell you, if you start getting comfortable with missing a Sunday here and a Sunday there, I'm telling you what, dear child of God, it won't take long before you start missing more and start missing more. And all of a sudden the guilt and the conviction and all that begins to fade away and you don't feel convicted anymore. And it's just easier and easier to start sloughing off and missing church. And then the next thing you know, you start losing out on the blessings of those things. You start losing out on your zeal for the Lord in this life. I want to tell you, our thankfulness to the Lord, our looking to Him and looking at His providence and coming to the Lord's house, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to tell you, there's times I want to tell you that you may not feel like getting up and coming to the Lord's house. I understand that. There's times that I have before, but it's been a long time since I felt like not coming to the Lord's house. I can't say that. Let me strike that. But I can understand that there are times when perhaps there's just things weighted down and you just don't. And I understand there's reasons why we can't come to church. I, for one, know that all too well here recently. And Brother Mike and others and sickness and things like that happen. And yes, the occasional vacation. Yes, I understand those things. But I'm talking about if we begin to just leave off the Lord's house regularly. I want to tell you what it will do. What it will do for you is it will cause you to stop growing and your zeal will go down. Your zeal will diminish. You got to have that zeal back. You got to get that fire back. That's what causes you to get up in the morning and to come into the Lord's house, praying to the Lord for His mercy and His grace, praying to the Lord for His blessings. That's what causes you to sit down first thing in the morning or last thing at night or during the day or whenever it is and reading and taking just a few moments to read some of God's Word. Those things right there will bring the fire and the zeal back. Doing those things, keeping those things up. Don't lay them off. Don't lay them off to the side and say that just doesn't work. I've tried it too many times. No, you pick it back up again and increase your zeal for the Lord. Be zealous. Be a zealot for the Lord. Be zealous for God. Another thing that you got to have is you got to, not only do you have to have a desire to grow, you also got to have nourishment. You got to be nourished if you're going to grow. A child can't just live off of potato chips and pizza. A lot of them seems like they do, but they're not real healthy. You know, you got to have your greens and you got to have a good balanced meal. And I want to tell you, it takes nourishment in order for us to continue growing in the Lord. Over in Luke chapter 4 and verse 4, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Matthew 4 and verse 4 says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So if it's not proceeding out of the mouth of God, we're talking about the Word that is the Word of God. And it nourishes us. It gives us that we need in this life. I want to tell you, we need that nourishment. Over in the fifth chapter of Hebrews, much like we saw over there in the third chapter of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, listen to what he says in the 11th verse of that fifth chapter. Of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing ye are dull of hearing. For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat. For everyone that useth meat, milk, is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And now we won't go on to the rest of the chapter there, or into chapter 6, where he continues that thought. But he's basically saying what he said over there to the Corinthians. You're just not growing. You're not being nourished. You need to be on meat. You need to be nourished for that you can exercise yourself. But he says you're not growing at all. And I want to tell you, we need nourishment. The nourishment that we have is the Word of God. It nourishes us. It causes us to rejoice. Listen to what it says over in Psalms. Well, let's go to Psalms number 1. Psalms number 1 in verse 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Now here's one that's meditating upon the things of the Lord. Here's one that is being nourished, and listen to what he says. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. You see, receiving nourishment. That bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. There's one right there that's being nourished. How is he being nourished? He's meditating upon the Word of God day and night. Now we go back over here to Psalms 119. In Psalms 119, it says in verses 47 and 48, I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved. Can you say that this morning about God's Word? I will delight myself in the commandments which I have loved. If you can't, I want to tell you, we ought to be getting to the place, we ought to be growing to the place that we can say that, so that we can be nourished up in the Word of God. He said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. Now while we're here, let's just go to Psalms 119 again, verse 97. Oh how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through the commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for my testimonies are my meditation. The testimonies, that can be a meditation. You can be just meditating on what all your testimony, what all God has done for you. See, this is all meditation. This is putting your mind on the Lord. Spending time with the Lord. That's where we get growth. You know, there was a survey done, a Nielsen survey, and it's estimated that the average, and I couldn't believe this when I read it, but you can look it up, the average person spends 5 hours a day watching television. Now that's hard to believe. The average person, I don't know what the top end of that scale is, but they say as you get older, you watch more television. But up to 5 hours a day watching television. There's 24 hours in a day. That is 20% of your life sitting there being amused in mindlessness. Sitting there watching something that has absolutely no edification and no benefit to you whatsoever. It's just mindless watching something and entertainment. And there's nothing wrong with watching television. But 5 hours a day? That wouldn't be near as bad if it was 5 hours of television a day and half an hour a day of reading God's Word. That wouldn't be near as bad. But if you just read half an hour, if you took half an hour a day, that's what, 2%? That's 2% of 2% of the day is spent devoting yourself to the Lord. Just half an hour. Half an hour a day. That's all it would take. And then an hour and a half or 2 hours on Sunday morning coming to the Lord's house. That's not asking for a whole lot, is it? When the average is 5 hours a day of watching television. I was astonished when I heard that. The other thing that we have to do, not only desire to grow, not only to have nourishment, but we need to exercise ourselves. You got to exercise if you want to grow. I'm talking about spiritual exercise. In Hebrews 12, wherefore seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You see, every one of us are running a race in this life. But it's a long distance race. It's not a sprint. When you start your New Year's resolution serving the Lord, don't run out of the gate sprinting. Because when you come out of the gate sprinting, before you know it, you're going to tire yourself real quick. Set the pace that is good for you. Whatever pace that is. Whatever pace it is, it'll be better than what it was, right? Whatever pace that is, set that pace for you. Set it for yourself. And say, I'm going to devote this time to reading. I'm going to devote this time to... You say, I don't like reading Leviticus. I don't... You know, who says you have to read Leviticus? There's 66 books in the Bible. You say, Matthew's my favorite book. Read it 100 times. Read whatever you're going to read. You can read any book 100 times and you still won't get it all. You don't have to start from Genesis and go all the way to Revelation. You just pick up God's Word and you read wherever you want to read. Say, I want to read the Psalms. Go read the Psalms. Pick them up. Devote some time. Devote 30 minutes of your day and read the Psalms. Read. Make it enjoyable to yourself what you're doing. Increase your zeal. Exercise yourself. Pace yourself. It's the race that we're running. And it's a long endurance race. And in a long endurance race, you just, like I said, you have to pace yourself. And it takes time. But you know, eventually, you start growing. We're not looking for big leaps and bounds. We're just looking for a steady progression on upward. And that's what is beneficial to us. That's what encourages us. And it doesn't demotivate us because we just give it all up, because we just hit the ground sprinting. We hit the ground wide open. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience, the race that is set before us. That's the other thing it takes. It takes time and it takes patience. It takes time and it takes patience to run this race. In Hebrews, in the chapter before that, I want to ask you a question. What's more important, to trust in the Lord or to please the Lord? Careful how you answer that. What's more important, to trust in the Lord or to please the Lord? You have to trust in the Lord before you can please the Lord. They're both important. Remember what he says in the 6th verse of that 11th chapter of Hebrews? But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. Who's he talking about? He's talking about Enoch in the fifth verse. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch had this testimony. But without faith, Paul goes on to say, it is impossible to please Him. So, you want to please the Lord? You can't do it without faith. You can't do it without trusting in God. You can't, because that's what God wants. He wants us to look to Him. He wants us to grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. He wants us to trust Him in everything that we do in this life. We make it sound like it's such a drudgery to spiritually have spiritual growth, but yet what a great blessing and a reward that we receive in that. Isn't that what he says? But without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is God, that He is the all-sufficient One, that He is the Alpha and the Omega, that He is all these things. But without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, there's diligent seeking. Diligent seeking. That's running your race with patience, isn't it? It's being diligent, and it's diligently seeking. It's making, like I was speaking to some people earlier this week, it's making accommodations in your life. Like the Shunammite woman in the fourth chapter of 2 Kings, the prophet of the Lord was coming by Elisha, and she decided she would add a room onto her house. You remember that? So that when he would come by, he'd have a place to stay. And they built that room for him. She made accommodations for that prophet to come by, for a place for him to stay. And I want to tell you what we need to do in our lives as we're diligently seeking Him. We need to make accommodations in our life for the Lord. We need to make accommodations and allow time for us to commune with God. We need to allow time for us to have fellowship with God. Don't use God like a spare tire and just bring Him out whenever you have a great need for Him. But look to God always, pray to God always, and rejoice in the Lord always, as the Apostle Paul says. And I want to tell you, your life will be fruitful. Your life will be full of rewards, of blessings. It doesn't mean, as we've said so many times, that the rewards are your way is just going to be paved and everything's going to be smooth. No, there's still going to be potholes, there's going to be stumbling blocks, there's going to be left turns and forks in the road, there's going to be problems. But I want to tell you what, as we're walking closer to the Lord, as we're growing in perfection, as a mature Christian, as a mature child of God, I want to tell you, it gives us a greater peace trusting in Him, knowing that God will bring us through those potholes, knowing that God will bring us through those obstacles, that we're relying upon Him. That we diligently seek Him. That we take patience and time out to do those things. In Proverbs 29 and verse 1, it reminds us not to get discouraged, because it takes time to grow. You got to have patience. I want to tell you, as a child, and now you're an adult, I mean, everybody can sit down and share war stories and show each other scars and stuff that you got when you did this or when you did that. Or, you know, we all got bumps and bruises and our behinds warmed up more than once growing up. It's not easy growing up. And I want to tell you, it's not always easy growing up spiritually. There's bumps in the road. But we look to the Lord and we trust in Him. And don't become discouraged. Because if we become discouraged, we let all the other things, the weeds and everything, begin to grow in around us and destroy any fruit that we might be able to produce. He said in Proverbs, Solomon said in Proverbs 29, verse 1, "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck." What does it mean to harden your neck? It means you're not looking up to the Lord anymore, because you're oftentimes reproved. Become discouraged. "He that being often reproved hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy." That's pretty harsh words right there. That's pretty harsh, but that's not my words. That's God's word. That's God's inspired word. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable. It's profitable that we read this, that we understand this, that we can fade away. Our zeal, our love for the Lord, our growth for God can fade away, can wane away in this life. There was a woman that had a child. She went to bed late at night and she heard a thump in her son's room and got up and went in there. And the boy was laying on the floor right beside the bed. She said, "Son, what happened?" He goes, "I don't know." He goes, "I guess I just stayed in the getting in place too long." The getting in place, the bed, you know, the edge of the bed is the getting in place. He said, "I just stayed at the getting in place too long." and he fell. It's good that we get into the getting in place, but let's don't stay at the getting in place. Let's keep on moving. Let's keep on growing in the nurture and admonition. Let's grow in the grace and the knowledge of the Lord. Not only that we would be comforted, not only that God would reward us with blessings and our trust in Him, that we could see God more clearly working in our lives, but that we would have more zeal to serve Him, that we'd have more zeal and a greater awareness about who we are as we serve one another, as we're here with one another in the church. My hope is for the church, this church, in 2017, to keep shooting those roots down. To keep shooting the roots down. Looking for growth, stability, steadfastness. That a tree that cannot be just blown over by every wind of doctrine. A tree that is firmly placed. That's the kind of growth that we will continue needing. The above ground growth, well, that's up to the Lord. The Lord will bring that. And I want to tell you something this morning. Don't ever be discouraged. Don't be discouraged. You just keep trusting in the Lord. The church here, we keep trusting in the Lord. We keep growing spiritually. And I want to tell you that I believe God will reward us in that growth. God bless you. I appreciate the time.